about to wet my pants.
I don't know what you've heard about.
Thanks, Danny.
But he's with the sweet spot 1-3. He has little respect for Deucey. It's the afternoon J-U-B. I don't know what you've heard about G. But he's with the sweet spot 1-3. I do love eating some kitty. It's the afternoon J-U-B.
All right, 2:39 on the sweet spot. It is Tuesday, and you've heard the theme song. That means it's time to say hello through our technology and stuff to one-third of the morning musers. Texas Radio Hall of Famer, Marconi winner, George International Chirp Chirp, Giorgio Dunham.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Sweet spot.
How we doing, man?
You know, I was just thinking, as they celebrate in Bloomington today and, you know, this morning and tonight and all, I don't know, January long.
Uh-huh.
You think they're ready for the green team that comes to town next September?
Yeah, I don't know what that green team is.
I don't think they're ready, man.
I don't know what that green team's going to look like compared to last year, but
you just wait.
Just imagine
Neil
that
Brown's
upset.
Putting together something special.
Okay.
If Indiana starts
Google us.
0-1 with the loss to the new North Texas.
That's right.
Whew.
That would be something, wouldn't it, George? Well,
they went 11-2 last year, and then they won the national championship. North Texas went 11-2.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Maybe.
The question is,
not Drew Mestemaker at quarterback. Yeah.
Whoever that quarterback is, will he be dating an adult film star? And will she be shown on the screen during the national title game? Much like a Bella Danger was last night.
Never know.
Okay, did you know who that was? When
I had no idea. I saw Twitter going crazy about it this morning or last night after the game, and I have no idea who that is.
Did you Google her like I did?
No.
She's an award-winning actress, George.
I just figured she was some influencer, but I found out this morning that I guess she does porn.
Yeah.
She does porn.
Yeah.
She influences you to make yourself feel good, George.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, she's helping people's mental health all over the world.
She has won Most Epic Ass several times at the AVN Awards.
That's what I feel when I look at it.
I'm familiar.
What constitutes an epic ass? Is it size or width? What are we talking about?
I don't know. Well, I guess I've seen a few of them in my lifetime.
There's a way you can find out.
Yeah, you got to listen to it.
You just know when you see it.
That's right.
That's a five-star ass.
You can't really define it, but you know it when you see it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's
like a Hall of Famer. You're like, clearly, first ballot.
The war on that ass.
Well, George, I wanted to bring up your podcast because one of the good things about this shift we have is we have a lot of time in the morning to ease into the day, do a little homework, whatnot. And I had a chance to listen to The Musers, the podcast. And this was episode 27 titled The Incredible Journey, where you, Craig, and Gordo talked about parenthood. And
yeah.
Being a parent, I was really interested, and there's a lot to get to here, but I wanted to drill down on being a 22-year-old parent, because obviously that was your life. It happened. You know, now you're empty nesters. You've had three kids, three great boys. You guys did an awesome job parenting. But at the age of 22, I know it was a different time, late 80s, early 90s. Maybe that was more of a common thing to get married and have kids that young. But I'm trying to imagine myself at the age of 22 having a child. And you said a month out you felt like you weren't ready. And I'm just curious just if you could
I was
go
not.
Back and let us know how you're feeling.
And I even said as much to my wife, and she said, well, you better get ready because you have no choice. This is happening. And so, okay. And once it happened, I was. But, and as I concluded, I think if you're 22 or 52, whatever your age, I don't know if you're really ready, but there is something, I don't know. And I guess you just have to be there. Sean, you've been through this. Once the child arrives, everything changes.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I don't know, maybe your instincts kick in, something, but you just feel like, okay, I can do this. And it's the most, spectacular thing that you ever go through, and as a human, I think, and I mean, we don't have to do all the work. They do.
Yeah,
but,
that's a big half of it is, you know, being with the right person, because that makes our job, yes, like, exponentially easier on that front.
Yes. But, I mean, there's all that emotion. I mean, you're worried about her and how is this going to work? And but then, you know, once the child is there, it's just, man, everything and your whole perspective, your whole life. And, you know, Craig just found that out a lot later than I did.
I'd say.
But I think the experience is still the same. You know, it was the same for him. He had some of those same feelings, like when you take that drive home from the hospital. Okay, what are we going to do when we get home?
Right.
I have no idea how to take care of one of these things. And you just kind of figure it out.
So what year was your oldest born? Late 80s, 89
Let's
or so?
Let's see. He was born in 87.
Oh, 87. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was still...
Year North Texas went to the 1AA playoffs and lost to the eventual champion Northeast Louisiana.
So that was still 7 years before the tickets. What was your... Yeah. What were you doing for work at that time at 22 years
we
old?
Kelly and I were still finishing up school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were very young. And okay, that's interesting you bring that up. I worked, let's see, I did part-time work at the university and for the yearbook, for the radio station, and then I worked for Mark Research, which was phone research.
Oh, no.
I worked two jobs and was going to school, and, you know, we just had a couple of classes to finish up, and, yeah, it was frightening, but at the same time, that was probably the most fascinating year of our marriage. It was really cool, too. It was just this new frontier, and, yeah, I wondered what I would, you know, hopefully be doing in radio someday. Little did I know that all sports radio did not exist. I had no idea what I'd be doing. And little did I know that 7 years later, the ticket would start.
And it's probably like when you're 22 and, you know, you're getting married and you're having a kid, you're more thinking of that time of what are you going to do? But it's probably beneficial long term that, you know, once you get into your late 20s, your 30s, your 40s, and you get to where you are now at the ticket that you've already, you know, established that family. So you're not going through it, you know, later on in life.
Yeah. And I just, you know, it's like I can said on the podcast, I think it, you know, can work either way. In some ways as I wasn't your typical 22-year-old because with this new responsibility, man, I was just so focused on finishing up school, you know, getting my resume out, being a dad, being a husband. I was not your typical 22-year-old at all. You know, all my friends were still going to the bars on Friday night. I was really not. You know, occasionally I would go out and, you know, have a good time, but very, very rarely. And, yeah, I was super focused. And luckily we went to, at the time, the greatest place to go for radio and TV and got all that experience up there. And when I came out of North Texas, I was, you know, prepared to do professional radio, kind of.
Yeah, and, for sure.
And thank goodness Brad Sham took a chance on me. And I text him every June 26th because that next year is when I got hired at KRLD. And I got that huge break just to, you know, get a chance in Dallas radio.
But as far as your peers, did you feel like you were on an island for a little while because you were going through something dramatically different than all your friends? And I'm also curious how your family and your friend circle reacted when they found out the news that you were going to be a father, because even though it was a different time, 22 still feels pretty young.
Oh, yeah. No, it was different. It depends on who your friends were and who the family member was. You know, it didn't go over the same, hit the same with everybody. I know my parents were really worried about it, and... But, you know, I really did have a good circle of friends at North Texas, including Craig and my old roommates who were really supportive. And
Grizzy.
She had good friends who were really supportive and would come by and see us. You know, Craig used to come over to the apartment sometimes, and, you know, we just sit around, and I think I mentioned it on the podcast. Brent, our oldest, was, you know, in one of those little kangaroo-ockaroos that swing back and forth.
Yeah.
And I remember distinctly he and I just looking at him and thinking, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. And yeah, they all would ask me, what is this like? You're a dad. And I just said, well, I don't know. It's great. You know, it's this new adventure that we're on, and it's incredible.
Were you still adding on to the fart tape?
Well, the baby was doing it at that point.
And see, I had to grow up. I couldn't, I couldn't keep doing those things. And
this one farts just like me.
Hold on. Papa's got a big
one. I had to kind of move on. And by the way, in this week's episode, Most Embarrassing Moments, there is a story of flatulence that
turned into,
as I said this morning, is still reverberating through West Hall.
Oh, no.
It was so in the house of God.
It's like an echo chamber. Just never ends.
In the middle of confession.
Yes. It was a really, really bad time to rip maybe the loudest fart ever cut. Yeah.
Well, we'd love to hear that story next week on Afternoon Jub if you'd like to tell it again.
Did that ruin a recruiting trip for like a 3-star? You're like, oh, got a receiver here.
Never
great
be the
story.
Same.
Tell it again. Yeah, it was just part of our stupid freshman year, which was centered only on making the other person laugh. That was our whole motivation for everything every day.
Let's do it again next week, George. What do you say? Some more fun stories.
Let's run it back.
Let's do it. We'll find some more adult film stars to talk about.
Also, thumbs up on the Ticket Stock song.
Yeah, man. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Debuted Friday.
Thank you.
Good work.
Very good
Bobby
stuff.
Bobby Duncan is awesome.
He is. The best.
And we all know Bobby. He's such a great guy. And, we wrote that in one afternoon. And I hear someone's doing a parody of our original. I won't say who, but I hear that... there may be something being done on that.
Okay. Can't wait to hear EA sing that. We'll talk to you next week, George.
All right. See you, boys.
There he goes. George Dunham, some Afternoon Jub.